Annie Fuller watched as the horse car she just exited made its way up Stockton Street towards North Beach. Glad her new wool and velvet-trimmed basque coat reached her knees, she thrust her gloved hands into its deep square pockets and shivered. March winds could be cruel in San Francisco, and at 10 minutes before 7, the sun hadn't yet made it up past Telegraph Hill to warm the morning air. She thought of Nate Dawson, who lived with his uncle in a boarding house on Vallejo Street, about 6 blocks northeast of where she stood. She wondered if he would still be asleep in his cold attic room after working late last night on some legal documents. Or would he be cramming down burnt toast and bitter coffee before going to his uncle's law firm, where he was a junior partner? Annie smiled. Nate often complained about how bad the food was at Mrs. McPherson's. Last week she had teased him, saying he wanted to marry her just so he could move into the O'Farrell Street boarding house she owned. Beatrice, Annie's cook and housekeeper, was already talking about how she would fatten up Nate's tall frame when he married Annie and moved in. Annie smiled again. When, not if, they married. One simple change of a word made all the difference. After a fish-laden cart trundled past on its way towards Market Street, she crossed the intersection and began to walk up Washington Street. The address she had been given was 916 Washington, but the letter from Mrs. Greenstock directed Annie to go past the front entrance and around to the door off of Stone Street. Halfway up the block, she slowed down, seeing her destination, the Methodist Episcopal Church's Chinese Domestic Mission, the handsome square building spread between Trenton Street and a smaller side street, which must be Stone Street. The mission was 4 stories high, if you counted the basement rooms with an entrance on Trenton Street, and the top attic floor created by a substantial mansard roof. Whoever had planned the mission had ensured ample light for the inhabitants. Rows of arched bay windows jutted out from all the slightly convex walls of the attic floor, and there were numerous tall windows on the 2 main floors and the 1 wall of the basement that was above ground. While constructed in wood, the building's corners were milled to look like bricks, as were the 2 vertical columns of slightly raised design that decorated the front of the building. All in all, the Chinese mission looked stately and inviting, but very different from the crowded and narrow buildings of Chinatown, just a block to the east, with their jumble of awnings, balconies, and banners. Not wanting to be late for her appointment, Annie stopped her survey and walked rapidly along the wooden sidewalk. When she came around the corner, she stood in front of a door that was flush with the street and rang the bell. While she waited for someone to answer, she took a deep breath to steady her nerves, reminding herself that the wife of Reverend Oliver Greenstock, the superintendent of the Chinese mission, had requested her help. Mrs. Greenstock had contacted her last week on behalf of the Women's Missionary Society of the Pacific Coast, asking if Annie would consult with them about their current investments. They hoped to improve their financial status so they could increase the income for the maintenance of the female refuge that was housed on the top floor of the mission. What was so exciting and terrifying was that Mrs. Greenstock had asked for Mrs. Fuller's help, not Madam Sybil's, and Annie sincerely hoped the Missionary Society women would never learn that Mrs. Annie Fuller and Madam Sybil were one and the same. When Annie opened the O'Farrell Street boarding house in the winter of 1878, she'd hoped that this would end the years of financial insecurity that had plagued her during her short marriage and subsequent widowhood. But the home she inherited from her aunt and uncle had room for only 8 boarders, and since she was unwilling to run a slovenly house like Nate's boarding housekeeper, Mrs. McPherson, she soon discovered that the income from the boarders wasn't sufficient to cover all the expenses. As a result, Annie invented Madam Sybil, a clairvoyant dispensing business advice to local San Franciscans using the expertise she had learned from her father. 2 years later, Madam Sybil was a grand success, but Annie had grown uncomfortable with pretending her advice came from palmistry and astrology, even though this was the only way that men would take her seriously. She was now seeking a way to retire Madam Sybil permanently, without losing the needed income. That was why this appointment was so important.